broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for May 28th. In the year of our Lord, 2022, this is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide, and absolutely we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the peaceful, restorative solutions we still have at our fingertips. And as you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. We are live 2 hours a day, 6 days a week. On the Sabbath, we rest. And you can listen to the broadcast 24/7 live and or on demand at libertyroundtable.com, lovingliberty.net. Spread the word, share the love. Speaking of lovingliberty.net, they got an incredible iPhone app and an Android app, so you can listen to live and on-demand radio, follow our Twitter feed, and a whole lot more free. Available at lovingliberty.net or your favorite Apple or iPhone or Apple Store, whatever store, Android Store, etc. Check all that out. It's free. Spread the word, share the love, if you will. Donations obviously welcome and needed to help grow the broadcast at libertyroundtable.com and lovingliberty.net. Now, if you go to lovingliberty.net, we also have around-the-clock talk show hosts doing a phenomenal job. Kate Daly, C.L. Bryant, Beth Ann Schoenberg, many others, doing a phenomenal job. Tony Perkins over there at Washington Watch. Just a bunch of great talk shows. Great people doing great things. Brian, he's also does a show called Loving Liberty. Brian Hyde doing a great job. We appreciate him. All of us standing for the sacred cause of liberty at lovingliberty.net. Now, quick recap of Friday's show. Of course, Ramos, that's this guy, fired outside of the school for 12 minutes, and he was inside for over an hour before he was stopped, ladies and gentlemen. Absolute horrible response by law enforcement. And you say, Sam, the missteps make sense if you understand them. They did their best. I understand all that. I also understand, though, that the shooter entered through an unlocked door, and there was no armed school officer there whatsoever. Mitch McConnell now doubling down and urging the GOP to work with the Democrats on gun control legislation. See, shame on them all. These missteps all move towards gun control. Every one of them. And what they say is, oh my gosh, we got to get the hands out of the crazies. I'm sorry, we got to get the guns out of the hands of the crazies. But wrong. What I mean is, I don't want crazies to have guns either. But ladies and gentlemen, I understand a simple reality check that, look, you are not going to get guns out of the hands of crazies because you don't know who the crazies are. Okay, you cannot create thought crimes. You cannot preempt crimes like that without stealing good people's rights because you never know when somebody's a good person and the facts just look bad versus whether it's really a bad person. You got to be very, very careful. And our founding fathers leaned towards that innocence view that I'm talking about. People are innocent until proven you heard me, proven guilty. That's critical to understand in the Republic, ladies and gentlemen, different from all other nations. We look to God, not government, for solutions, and we understand people are innocent until proven guilty. And even though the facts may look strange, you got to be very careful to not jump to conclusions. And I'll give you an example to make the point. There's a lot of articles coming out right now about test takers in COVID where people are taking tests at home. And they have all kinds of ways to try to prevent people from cheating. You know, you got to take a photo of yourself and your ID. You got to do a 360 photo of your surroundings. You can't look down during tests. You can't And they have all these algorithms that watch you as you take tests to determine if the algorithms think you're cheating. Well, the big scandal now is the algorithms are saying all kinds of people are cheating when they're really not. Because the algorithms, because the technology that we have comes to false conclusions. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. That means this. No, it doesn't necessarily mean that. You don't know the reasons. You can't get into people's minds and people's thoughts. Anyway, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I want to highlight that's the problem we're facing. So then all the mainstream press reaches out and says, how do we stop this carnage? How do we, when will this ever stop? And they all look towards taking away innocent guns. Guns are innocent. They're neither good nor evil. It's all in the hands of the user. Okay, they can be a rape me not if you're a woman in trouble. They can be a stop the criminals if you're a good guy. So the answer is not less guns in our society. In fact, we had way more guns in our society in yesteryear. We had gun clubs and everything else. Boys would drive to the school with their pickups and guns would be in the rack all the time. And it was never a problem. Why? Because people were tied to God, family, and country. And shooting somebody was the last thing on their mind. Okay, it's not the guns. It's the criminal activity and the mentality of the people. We've lost our tie to God, family, and country. We've doubled down in violent video games. We've got mental illness and psychotropic drugs flowing through the veins of a significant number of our society, and we don't even discuss these things. I bring them up, and they say I'm a kook. I digress. We all talked to Kurt Crosby yesterday, discussion of all things liberty, localhoneyman.com, and we talked about this incredible speech from Elder David A. Bednar, an apostle with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. He spoke on a variety of topics at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C., and he talked about the basic purpose of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is to help people learn about the nature and the attributes of God, to become disciples of his son, Jesus Christ. We've got to change our hearts. We've got to understand that sometimes we need to be changed from the outside in, but more often than not, we need to be changed from the inside out by following the principles of Almighty God. He also doubled down and talked about the shooting and said, we mourn with those who mourn. We stand with those who need comfort. I agree with all those things. But if you want to stop shootings, turn people to God, family, and country. Don't raise people on a steady diet of dysfunctional families and no God in their lives and no ties to anything important in terms of their heritage. Deny them all that. Put them on psychotropic drugs. Eventually, they'll be full of hate and confusion, and they'll act out in ways that are unpredictable. Second hour, we talked to our guest, Dr. Scott Bradley. FreedomsRisingSun.com is his website. And we talked about Memorial Day, originally known as Decoration Day, is a national holiday in the United States for mourning U.S. military personnel who have died sacrificing their lives for liberty. We talked about just war is rare. Indeed, sadly, we're a warlike people, easily distracted from our assignment, preparing for the coming of the Lord. Why are we a warlike people? And I submit to you because we don't tie people to our godly heritage and to our American heritage. We don't have strong families in America with a mother and a father, traditional families, marriage ordained of God, welcoming children as a blessing. We don't look at things that way. We need to renounce war and proclaim peace, ladies and gentlemen. That's what we need to spend our time doing. We also talked about an urgent inflation report by Ben Stein. Inflation's out of control, adding insult to injury for most households. We talked about more than 80% of the people in America are dissatisfied with the direction the U.S. is going. Only 16% said they're satisfied. Yeah, a serious problem in America. In a similar poll, the majority of Democrats believe children should be able to choose their own pronouns, ladies and gentlemen. And go listen to yesterday's show, second hour. I talked about the pronouns I'd like to describe myself with. Is that going to be allowed? I doubt it. We also talked about the fact that the Clinton campaign manager was under oath in the Durham investigations, and Hillary personally approved Trump-Russia plot. So, you know what? If that's going on, that's election fraud right there. You say, what are you talking about, Sam? That was 2016. I know. But if you literally dogged Trump for years and years on these false allegations that were made up and Hillary signed on to it with her campaign, literally you have one campaign messing with another campaign's candidacy and eventually president, being harassed by the same dishonest narrative approved by Hillary. Hillary should be in prison right now, folks. Time will tell what's going to happen with that. But lock her up. Donald lost his chance because he didn't have the guts to get it done, did he? Twitter shareholder lawsuit accuses Musk of market manipulation. I knew that was coming and I predicted it, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, you cannot just deal with publicly traded companies and play games like that. You're announcing one thing while you're doing another. Hey, I have no intentions of buying Twitter, even though I'm now the greatest shareholder. Oh, I didn't announce my public shareholdership. My percentage of it violates the law to not announce that within a certain time period. And then, oh, I guess I am going to buy the company. Oh, well, wait a minute. I'm going to buy the company for this much. They swallow a poison pill. No, you're not. Yes, I am. Okay, we're going to sell it to you. Wait a minute. I don't believe you have the proper number of legitimate users. Many of them are fake. I can't buy it for as much as we talked about. Eventually, you're manipulating the price and manipulating the outcome of your own purchase on a publicly traded company. I doubt there'll be prosecution for this because they rarely prosecute these cases. But I'm telling you, it smacks of market manipulation. Either way, we'll keep an eye on that ball just for you. And that's a recap of the broadcast that took place yesterday. Man, we cover a lot of news on your radio, don't we? Spread the word, share the love, and donate today. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. And without further ado, we'd like to welcome Mr. Chris Carlson to the broadcast. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you, Sam. Without God, we cannot win. With God, we cannot lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we need to be engaged in the fight. Lieutenant Carlson, reporting for duty, sir.
All right, before we get to our book review, sir, now it turns out that they documented a teacher propped open a door just a few minutes before the shooter entered that same door. Stephen McGraw, he's director of the Texas Department of Public Safety, is who's reporting this reality. A teacher literally propped open the door that the shooter went through just a minute or two before the shooter was known. Could that be a coincidence? Could all this be by accident? And now their ultimate goal to push like never before extreme levels of gun control. They pushed for it before, but never to this level, never this coordinated, never this in-your-face blatant. Chris responds to that, then an incredible book review of This Nation Shall Endure in seconds on your radio.
Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
We at Freedom Factor have a passion for our shared American heritage and want to help restore some of that American pride by emphasizing the documents that made us Americans. Our goal is to put pocket constitutions into the hands of every American and in every school. This effort requires your help. Order your pocket constitutions and browse our website at freedomfactor.org to learn how you can help spread the message of freedom. Read it, know it, share it. FreedomFactor.org.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the police are laying out a more detailed timeline on the shooting. 11:27, a teacher props open a door. 11:28, the shooter's car or truck crashes, and then he starts shooting, eventually entering the school. Now, is it really possible, coincidentally, ladies and gentlemen, that a teacher props open a door a minute before this all goes down, and the shooter just happened to go through the same door that was propped open by the teacher? Something's wrong, Chris. I don't know what it is. I don't have proof. I'm just telling you, the more I hear about this thing, nothing makes sense except for to create a mass shooting with hysteria all over the nation and then to push for extreme gun control measures. There is no other way. Now they're blatantly admitting a teacher literally propped open a door literally 3 minutes before the shooter enters that same door. Is that really even possible by coincidence?
Well, they have endless amounts of money to pay people off and to hire agents provocateurs, so it wouldn't surprise me. I know about the day after the shooting, Kate Daly was exposing a lot of inconsistencies in the timeline and the school reporting to the parents that everything was all right when the shooter was supposed to have had started by that point. So, yeah, this smells to high heaven, Sam. And then the police stood outside for 12 minutes while the shooter was inside killing children. Did I get that right? Didn't you report that yesterday?
Well, I reported that the shooter was outside with a gun waving it around, shooting at people near a funeral home and running around outside shooting for 12 minutes. Exactly who got there when is hard to say. And exactly when we say the police this, the police that, I don't know what the police means. And let me explain what I mean. There are cops that are school cops. There are police that's the police department. There's sheriffs that are sheriff's department. And there's Border Patrol, which is a Border Patrol department. Actually, it was a Border Patrol person that was actually called in who actually shot the gunman. So I don't know what the police means is what I'm getting at of who arrived, when, where, how. Yeah. I don't know what departmental overlap or what. All I know is they're reporting that this man was outside for 12 minutes shooting before he ever even entered the school. And then he entered the school, and it took them well over an hour before they stopped him. Many of them were in the school. Many of them were at different places. People were outside begging the cops to go in, but there was already cops in the building. A couple of cops got grazed by bullets, we're told. And so I don't really know enough of the narrative to really drill into that. But I'm telling you, the idea that a teacher propped open the door, the same door that literally less than 10 minutes later, the shooter goes through, I don't know, but there's got to be a link or a tie. I just don't believe. I don't know how many doors are at the school. I don't know, but I'm saying the same door literally minutes later. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, that teacher needs to be interrogated, but she probably won't, or he probably won't be. Yeah, Sam.
There's some problem with it. I don't want to spend the whole day on it, but I do want to highlight that new fact that just got documented. Other people speculated it, but now this official, Stephen McCraw, director of the Texas Department of Public Safety, is who is highlighting that reality now, not me. It's in all the news organizations, so I'm assuming it's a legitimate quote at this point. All right, we got a book review to do, Mr. Chris Carlson. Book review, This Nation Shall Endure. Written by Ezra Taft Benson. It's an incredible book, and I refer to it literally every day on the program because I do believe we've got trouble in America for sure. But you know what? In the end, we're on God's side. In the end, this nation will endure. Ladies and gentlemen, religious freedom cannot prosper where political freedom does not exist. For man to exercise fully the agency that God has granted to him, we need to understand that we must protect our God-given rights. Our God-given natural rights must be recognized and protected. Chris?
Yeah, and we've got the glorious standards of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution to look for instruction and hope and direction. Unfortunately, most of our politicians are turning their backs and ignoring those documents. But Ezra Taft Benson, so let's tell you who Ezra Taft Benson is. You probably heard him mentioned on this station a lot. He was the Secretary of Agriculture in the 1950s under the Dwight D. Eisenhower administration. He was also the leader of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in the 80s and 90s. But a very wise man, very prolific, and very outspoken in terms of politics throughout the 60s, 70s, and not so much in the 80s because he was the leader of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints at that time. But he did have a little peek inside the workings of government during the 1950s. In fact, he was the one who pointed out to President Eisenhower that Fidel Castro was a communist when everybody else in the media and in Washington, D.C. was calling him the second George Washington or the George Washington for the nation of Cuba. And he knew that Fidel Castro was a communist and tried to warn the State Department. But, of course, State Department, they're communist anyway by that time. Anyway, that's a little bit of a background. And he talks about our heritage. He talks about, of course, the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. But he goes even further back. He goes back to our English heritage. Because, as you know, Sam, most of our founding fathers would be able to trace their roots back to Great Britain. And he talks about the Great Charter or the Magna Carta from 1215. in the English Petition of Rights of 1628 and the English Bill of Rights of 1689. So they knew, even before they drafted those American documents, the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, that man has rights not granted by government, but granted to us by God. And it doesn't matter if you're in America or in Russia or Cuba or wherever you may live, those rights are universal, you know, to all mankind. But unfortunately, they're not upheld, and they're not even upheld in America where they should be today. And that's why we're experiencing the problems that we are. And we're not acknowledging the source of those rights, the Second Amendment right, like you just talked about, and like you talked about extensively yesterday. You know, if more people exercised those rights, we wouldn't have these school shootings. And you pointed out, and we were going to get to this later anyway, the fact that the problems that we are experiencing, Sam, they are not political problems. They're not a lack of gun control. And you proved that yesterday, and I'm going to reiterate it, by the fact that during the 70s and 80s, the time that we grew up, school shootings were unheard of. Yet guns in public places were much more ubiquitous. For example, I used to carry my gun through the little town where I lived, out going hunting for squirrels or rabbits or pheasants or raccoons. Nobody thought anything of it. If I did that today, I'd be thrown in jail. They would think that I was a terrorist. But we didn't have school shootings like we have today. And the problem isn't because of lack of gun control. The problem is civility and the keeping of God's commandments and strong families. There's one we're going to talk about, strong families, because Ezra Taft Benson talks about there are four criteria for a strong nation. Well, let's go ahead and talk about those four criteria to maintain a strong country. Okay? And we'll get to families in a minute. A faith in God and a universal brotherhood of all mankind. And he says in his 1979 book, there is a God in heaven who is the sovereign power of the universe, and we are his literal offspring. He has endowed us with inalienable rights, among which are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. This he has implanted in the human breast. Okay, and I comment that this is why our founding fathers were so willing to sacrifice their all for the cause of freedom. They were not only doing it for themselves, but Sam, they were doing it for their posterity and hopefully for the rest of the world to be inspired by. And a lot of countries have been inspired by our Constitution. And in the book, Ezra Taft Benson points out that almost all of the constitutions that have been implemented in South and Central America and Mexico were patterned on our own constitution. Unfortunately, I don't think they achieved the level of freedom and prosperity that we have here in America. Anyway, I go on to say, I couldn't be a slave if I wanted to. I would rather sacrifice my life like our founding fathers did. At least they were willing to. Nine of them actually of the signers of the Declaration of Independence actually lost their lives as a result of having signed that document. Okay, but I would rather sacrifice my life in an effort to overthrow tyranny. Why? Because I believe the following statement made by one of the leaders of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Now I'm going to read a quote by H. Verlin Anderson. And this is a super powerful quote, Sam. Are you sitting down?
Yes, sir.
And you know who H. Verlin Anderson is, right?
Yes, of course. In fact, a little quick story for you to understand. My good friend Hans Anderson, who's an accountant on several of the boards that I sit on and projects that I'm on, Hans Verlin Anderson, who's alive now and a good friend of mine this very day, it's his father.
Yes. I met him. He's a great man, a chip off the old block. But H. Verlin Anderson has ties to us and our children, Sam. Do you know how?
We'll talk about it in seconds, ladies and gentlemen, on the other side of this pause. You are listening to Chris Carlson and Sam Bushman breaking down a book review of the incredible book written in 1979 by Ezra Taft Benson called This Nation Shall Endure. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
There is outrage in Texas after authorities admit they made a mistake during the Uvalde school shooting. Parents of the 19 children who were killed at Robb Elementary School found out police waited for reinforcements before entering the classroom where the gunman had opened fire. DPS Director Steve McGraw saying it was the wrong decision to wait and not breach the classroom door. McGraw admitted they were getting 911 calls for help as officers waited for their backup. Four children are among the dead after a house explodes near Philadelphia. The explosion happening Thursday night in Pottstown and leveled at least two houses while damaging several others. Residents in the area have raised questions about a possible gas leak causing the explosion, but no official cause has been determined. USA Radio News.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-444-9336. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes or overweight or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-444-9336. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-444-9336. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-444-9336. 800-444-9336.
Speaking at the NRA convention in Houston on Friday, former President Trump rejected calls for new gun laws following the Texas school shooting. More than 39 million people are expected to travel this Memorial Day weekend. Many of those will be by air, where Hopper consumer travel expert Lindsay Schwimmer says fares are up 30% from 2 years ago.
We've seen jet fuel prices risen dramatically in this past 6 months, and that's having a contribution on overall airfare prices.
The vast majority of travelers, some 35 million, will be on the roads, a predicted 8% increase over 2021. What is the history and meaning behind Memorial Day?
In 1971, Memorial Day became a national holiday by an act of Congress. It's now recognized annually on the last Monday in May. Memorial Day's purpose is to honor military members who have died.
Lance Pry from the West Coast USA Radio Newsroom, USA Radio News.
This Nation Shall Endure, written in 1979 by Ezra Taft Benson, is an incredible book highlighting confidence in this nation, ladies and gentlemen. Religious freedom cannot prosper where religious freedom does not exist. That's something that you got to really understand, ladies and gentlemen. That's why those of you who want us to not talk about religion or politics, you'll lose your nation if you don't stand up for the culture wars, the bottom line. But God wins. God has his hand on this nation. And this nation, ladies and gentlemen, understand there's both a blessing and a curse upon this land, is how Ezra Taft Benson highlights this reality. Chris?
Yeah, and this notion of a wall of separation between church and state is completely and totally bogus and taken completely and totally out of context from what Thomas Jefferson wrote. What he meant is the government shouldn't meddle in the affairs of religion. But what we've interpreted it to be today, Sam, as you know, is you don't inject spiritual or moral or religious principles into politics, which we're doing, and we're seeing the consequences thereof. Our nation is literally crumbling before us. But anyway, so we were talking about H. Verlin Anderson, and I'm surprised that you didn't know the connection between H. Verlin Anderson and the school that our children go to. He was the founder thereof back in 1970. And he was also a leader in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. But I don't mean to go too far afield on this tangent. So he made the following statement, Sam, and tell me if you agree with this or not. He said, the amount of freedom we shall have in the next life, that is in heaven, will depend upon the political choices we make here in mortality, just as the amount of freedom we have in mortality was determined by the decisions we made about free agency in the pre-earth life. Would you concur with that, Sam?
Absolutely. Yes, indeed. I do believe that, you know, when we think about our spirits, souls, if you will, we are the offspring of God, says the Bible. We are literally his sons and daughters in spirit, and I believe our spirits are eternal. So we lived with our Father in heaven before we came to this earth, and we followed him and were obedient to him. And as such, we're blessed in this life as a result of our life with him in what I would coin the preexistence. So it is true that as we build on our agency, choosing right, choosing God over evil or wrong or Satan, as we choose right and good, we are blessed for those choices. God blesses us when we're obedient to his plan, to his commandments. And therefore, I believe as we die, I don't believe we're just dead forever. I believe that we rise from our slumber because of the gift from Jesus Christ. He was able to conquer death in his great resurrection, and thus we receive that gift from Jesus Christ to live again, the great resurrection for us all. Consequently, when we are resurrected and our body and spirit are united together, I do believe we will have blessings for how we behave in this life in terms of our agency, how we act, how we think. And so that has political ramifications, or I would say moral ramifications as well. So no doubt that's an eternal truism, Chris.
Yeah, and the more diligent we are in this life, and the more sacrifices we make and more effort we put forth to uphold those principles of liberty and freedom and prosperity, I think our reward will be commensurate to those decisions. That's why you and I, Sam, we are so adamant about upholding those principles and, you know, making the, in, on my part, a very small sacrifice, but on your part, a huge sacrifice to spread this message to the people that listen to your radio station. So yeah, so that that is a realism. That is why, and my wife and I had this discussion last night, that is why I am involved with politics. I think that it's just as important that we choose good, honest, and faithful leaders as anything else we can do to fulfill our commitment to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that's number one. A faith in God and a universal brotherhood of mankind is an essential element for a strong nation. Number two, he says strong homes and family ties. Do you believe that strong homes and family ties are important to having a strong nation, Sam?
Without a doubt. There's no way to avoid the reality check here. Look, you cannot do your duty and be an idle spectator, ladies and gentlemen. It is not possible.
No. No, and he goes on to say, the home is the rock foundation, the cornerstone of civilization, not only of a nation, Sam, but of civilization as a whole. No nation will rise above its homes, and no nation will long endure when the family unit is weakened and destroyed. And we see that happening on a day-to-day basis with transgenderism, homosexuality, promiscuity, the taking of the sacred procreative power in vain and casually. It is rampant all, and it was when we were kids, but now it's even worse. We've got these gross perversions of that sacred procreative power being used and exhibited on TV ubiquitously throughout society. It's become a thing of conversation. They're teaching, you know, kindergarten kids about their sexuality. We never even dreamed that that would happen when we were young. So we've got that perversion that is undermining the foundation of society, which is a strong family and a strong homes. Did you want to comment on that before we move on to number three, the third element in a strong nation?
I just want to comment, ladies and gentlemen, that family is the fundamental unit of society. Our nation will only be as strong as the families that that nation represents. Okay, so that's why it's God, family, and country in that order, ladies and gentlemen. Family is God's ordained institution on the earth. So as we have a relationship with God, then as we work in our families to educate, to train, to love, to support, to encourage, to all these different things that the family can do so well at, that's God's organization, the family, ladies and gentlemen. And the nation reflects the families. So when you see troubles in the nation, you know there's troubles in the family. I highlight that so much because I believe, again, that's our great defense that we're not focusing on for solutions, and we need to be. Chris, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, and that's something we can do something about in our own families. And, you know, I'm able to do on a day-to-day basis. Okay, number three, a political climate and governmental system that protects man's inalienable rights. Okay, and President Benson, I call him president because he was the president of the church at one time. If we accept the premise that human rights are granted by government, then we must be willing to accept the corollary that they can be denied by government. I, for one, shall never accept that premise, close quote. And I concur. Amen to that. Our rights, and you've said this numerous times over your broadcast, Sam, our rights don't come from government. We don't have to wait for a bill to be passed or for an executive order to be created by the president in order to exercise our rights. All of them are embodied, not all of them, but many of them are embodied in the Bill of Rights. We can look at those. And as states, as state governments, and even as individuals, Sam, we can nullify any laws that violate those God-given rights that we have been given as an heritage of the fact that we are children of God. We don't need to wait for government's permission on that. And we talked about our Second Amendment right and how limiting that right is not going to stop these school shootings. In fact, it will probably result in increased violence in the schools because the fewer guns that are in the hands of the good guys, as you say, Sam, the more emboldened the criminals will become. And this is a satanic agenda to get the guns out of the hands of the good guys. And once if the government was ever able to accomplish that objective, and believe you me, Sam, that is exactly what they're trying to accomplish with these, in some cases, manufactured school shootings and other shootings, you know, our time will be extremely limited as far as how many rights and privileges we'll be able to enjoy. That will be the beginning of the end of this nation.
So when we say this nation shall endure, let's be very clear. It's because we have a trust in God over government. It's because we have a trust in and the faith about the people. There are enough people in modern times who are willing to obey God's commandments and who are willing to repent, who believe that the threat at the door is immorality. Morality, turning to God, acknowledging his hand in our lives, in our families, and his country are really the key here. I bring that all up because I know things look dark. Really, our choices, though, as a nation, relate directly to how difficult or how peaceful it will be before the Savior returns. So we're waiting for Jesus Christ to return. How brutal will it be? How much tyranny will they lord over us before Jesus Christ comes? That all depends on we and our actions. Okay, we live in a land choice above all other lands today, ladies and gentlemen. And so the question is, where are our founding fathers today? It's a critical question. Why don't we have leaders today like we had yesteryear? Okay, history does repeat itself. You got to understand that. And as it does, hey, they had dark times then. King George was lording over them. We've got the same scenario today, Chris.
Yeah, you talked about our founding fathers and, you know, how noble and righteous examples they are. And I hear a lot of people, and you hit upon it just now, Sam, you know, where are the George Washingtons? Where are the Thomas Jeffersons today? And I say that they are here, and we'll talk about that on the other side of the break.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Liberty Roundtable Live. We do book reviews. We double down on the news. It's all about how to promote God, family, and country, and all about how to protect life, liberty, and property in the traditions of our founding fathers. An incredible legacy to carry forward, ladies and gentlemen. And we celebrate those opportunities before us on this incredible Memorial Day.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
In message one, we said that Satan, the father of lies, John 8:44, gave the left evil, spiritual power the more they use the lies. The political left today is the beast. Now the Bible confirms that the dragon gave him, the beast, his power. Revelation 13:2. The extra evil spiritual power that comes from the beast by their lying is what accounts for the string of the leftist criminals in the government that have never yet been prosecuted. It also explains why American capitalists support communism in the 21st century. Note 1. That behavior of capitalists was predicted by Vladimir Lenin, a cell of the beast. Note 2. Henry Ford was a capitalist, and he would have never gone communist. The difference between Ford and the present-day, end-time capitalists is that Ford was born and educated in the Kingdom of Christ, 19th century America, the New Jerusalem, Revelation 21.
Ladies and gentlemen, you as a citizen cannot do your duty to the greatest country on the face of the earth, our republic, by being a spectator. Not possible, ladies and gentlemen. That's Ezra Taft Benson saying that. But really, where are the founding fathers of today, Chris?
You know, I've often heard people ask that question rhetorically, Sam. You know, where are the George Washingtons, the Daniel Morgans, the Ethan Allens, or other great generals who they had back then? Well, that was, we had a righteous nation back then, and those people were upheld, and those people were wrote about in the newspapers. But the only ones we seem to read about in the newspapers or hear about in the mainstream media are the Benedict Arnolds. But they don't present them as Benedict Arnolds, do they? you know, they're better than Hillary, or they're better than Biden, you know, so that seems to qualify them as modern day founding fathers. Well, I don't buy that. You know, my standards are much higher than, you know, they're the lesser of the two evils. My response to that is that you are listening to two of them every time Sam has a guest on the air. Or when Sam is broadcasting alone, you're listening to one of them. Sam, you and I are modern day founding fathers. Now, I don't say that because I think that I'm just as good as those. I've got a long ways to go before I become a Thomas Jefferson or a George Washington. But you have to recognize that 90% of the media is controlled by six corrupt organizations. And they're never going to present a modern day George Washington or a modern day Ethan Allen on the mainstream media. So if you're looking there, you're looking in the wrong place. We can be, however, founding fathers in our communities. And we've talked about the information campaign that I've launched here in my neighborhood, because at least I can control to a degree the ability to educate people in my own neighborhood. And that's the end. And of course, I'm on the radio every week. That helps too for people to listen. But, you know, we don't have a huge audience like Sean Hannity or Rush Limbaugh used to have. But we can be founding fathers in our own rights, in our communities, where we can reach people, where we can have conversations one-on-one. And if we have our food storage, we can make it through the perilous times that we're about to go through and hopefully come out the other end and rebuild this nation.
And let's be very clear. We don't have as big an audience as some of those other talk show hosts. Maybe that's true. But you know what? We're not seeking that group either. To us, it's not about becoming a rock star, becoming famous, becoming a household name. It's not about that, because in order to do that, to become that, you have to jettison the fundamental principles and the clarion call for civility and morality that it takes. Okay? You cannot get in that position in modern society today with that kind of direct message. Okay? And so we're not seeking for that huge crowd. What we're seeking for is Americans who truly want to make a difference. We are seeking for Americans who understand that, look, we live in a land choice above all other lands. We're seeking for founding fathers today, those who will embrace the principles, those who will turn to God with faith, turn their faith into action through repentance, those who will seek God's face, those who will obey his commandments, those who will be covenant people, ladies and gentlemen. Understand, we have been recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. And we have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We are growing in numbers, in wealth and power in many, many ways. But sadly, in America, we've forgotten God. And we think that our prosperity and we think that our effort are because of our own hands. Ladies and gentlemen, boy, are we mistaken in that reality check. We must remember our God. Okay? We have forgotten the gracious hand that preserves us. In the deceitfulness of our hearts, we think it's all because of our own efforts. It's not true. And so we need to understand that we have a duty to uphold what our founding fathers gave us. How serious is our responsibility to uphold the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, and preserve what our founding fathers gave us? Look, unless we as citizens of this nation, ladies and gentlemen, forsake our sins, political and otherwise, and return to the fundamental principles of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and literally turning to God as a repentant society, Christianity, constitutional government, everything we have will be in jeopardy, Chris.
Including our eternal salvation, Sam, and that may be a new one to some of your listeners because of this notion of the wall of separation. You know, politics is politics, religion is religion. No, they must be merged. They must be one and the same. Because if our politics are not based on morality and religion, what are they based on? Right now, they're based on Satanism. Everything being promoted in government today, in the majority, and I'm including the Republicans, is based on Satan's plan for us, which is slavery and bondage. So yeah, our salvation is literally hinges on whether or not we will uphold those divine principles embodied in the Declaration of Independence, embodied in the Constitution, embodied in the Bill of Rights today. If we don't uphold those principles, and I'm not God, so I'm not going to predict what's going to happen to you, but I don't want to find out the hard way that I should have done that. So I am diligently seeking to uphold those principles in the tiny little sphere of influence that I'm operating in today, whether that be just a handful of neighbors, friends and family, or, you know, if I ever get on a bigger stage like you, I guess I am today, so I shouldn't be saying that.
Yeah, let's anyway. Think of it this way. By small things, does God accomplish great things? Let's be very clear and trust in him for that. My efforts may be tiny. I may not be worthy to sit with the founding fathers, but I can certainly do my very best to help this nation endure by following and being obedient to the principles of our Constitution. Now, we need to talk about a J. Reuben Clark quote, Chris, because I think it highlights one of the fundamental realities of the book. I highlighted in this Nation Challenger, hey, how bad will it be before the Savior comes? That depends on our agency and how much we defend the supreme law of our land. But J. Reuben Clark goes further, Chris.
Yes, he says, I say to you that the price of liberty is and always has been blood, human blood. And if our liberties are lost, we shall never regain them except at the price of blood. They must not be lost, Sam. And
let's be clear. We're not calling for blood. We're just telling you a reality on the ground as mortals. You lose your liberties. Only blood can bring those liberties back. Our efforts are to not lose those liberties in the first place, ladies and gentlemen. That's why we're on the radio. That's why I've been on the radio for more than 25 years. 2 hours a day, 6 days a week for years. Before that, it was 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. I've been on the radio literally thousands and thousands and thousands of hours, primarily to say to you, ladies and gentlemen, look, the Constitution of the United States of America is a sacred document. Okay, it's akin to the revelations of God. God has put his stamp of approval on the Constitution and on the United States, writes Ezra Taft Benson. Look, we have a serious duty, ladies and gentlemen. The price of liberty has always been blood. I pray we could peacefully not have to shed that blood. If we don't lose the liberties in the first place, we don't need blood to bring them back. Okay, and so our efforts are peaceful. Let's be very, very clear. But let's also be clear. Once we lose those liberties, it is impossible to get them back without the price of blood. That's a fundamental principle that we must not ignore. If we do so, it's at our peril, Chris.
Yes, and I'm a very peaceful individual, and as are you, Sam. We don't want to resort to that. A lot of people think that we may have to, and if so, so be it. You know, I'm willing, as our founding fathers, as I said, of the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence, Sam, 9 of them ended up losing their lives earlier than they would have lost them had they not signed that document. And they all would have hung if Great Britain had won the war. But fortunately for them, God preserved their lives, and he had a purpose for this country, and he will continue to have a purpose for this country And I believe that there, if there is a handful of patriots left in this country, the Lord will continue to preserve it through his miraculous means. And a lot of people think that, you know, our goose is cooked at this point. You know, there's no way that we can overcome the power of our enemies. They have the printing presses. They have the media. They have the entertainment industry. They have the government. No. God is more powerful than all of them. And when we unite with God, we find ourselves on the right side of history. And I'm willing to make that sacrifice if needs be. But I'm not going to go off to Washington, D.C. and protest there. You know, that place is gone. Our solution is not going to – and Ezra Taft Benson has mentioned that in his writings over and over, that Washington is not going to solve our problems. We've discovered that.
We got to talk about one more principle before the end of the hour. I don't mean to cut you off, Chris, but I want to make sure we get this. Ezra Taft Benson also wrote a book called An Enemy Hath Done This.
Yep,
it's a
kindred book
to This Nation Shall Endure. And so he highlights in this book one final principle that relates to an enemy hath done this. That's betrayers from the inside is the summation of the book, but you ought to go read it. But betrayers from the inside are the problem. We will never be destroyed from outside, but from inside by those who betray us. But he also has a section in This Nation Shall Endure that says this. The enemy within the gate. And you got to really highlight this because I think that's a core thrust of the book, Chris.
Sorry about that background noise. Say that again.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. The enemy within the gate, ladies and gentlemen, is a fundamental principle of the book This Nation Shall Endure that cannot be overlooked.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, the enemy within the gate, and that's our major problem. We in fact, one of our presidents, Abraham Lincoln, mentioned that if we are ever conquered, it will be from within. Our enemies within the gate, you know, our own leaders, our own neighbors in some cases, are a more formidable enemy than those without the gate. There are a lot of countries that would like to conquer America, but they know that they can't until we become sufficiently weakened. We're our own worst enemies. Look at how much disagreement there is amongst ourselves on issues like the Second Amendment, like transgenderism, like the overreach of federal authority into the states. All of these things are dividing us. And once we become sufficiently divided, we will sufficiently weaken ourselves to the point where a China, where a Russia, where a foreign nation can come in and conquer us easily. So we need to work on uniting ourselves. And, you know, that may require a civil war. I don't want it to get to that point.
We pray it does not happen. Now, George Washington highlighted two fundamental realities, the two great supports, morality and religion for the nation. Ezra Taft Benson also teaches not only will there be betrayers within the gates, betrayers who destroy our liberty from the inside, but he also highlights the enemy within the gate really is immorality. Okay, we have got to be a moral people, a faith-filled, repentant people before God. Faith precedes the miracle. If we have faith, God can do miracles among us. And if we repent, then we're clean before God, doing what he asks us to do. Therefore, we qualify for his blessings. Okay, blessings are predicated on obedience to the commandments of God. Okay, we're taught this over and over. Is it because of us? No, it's because of God, but we are asked by God to be obedient. He leaves the choice to us, but if we're obedient, then we receive blessings. There's eternal principles, and when you obey principles, blessings are the result of obedience to those principles. Obedience is one of the first laws of heaven that you need to understand. So anyway, the enemy within is betrayers, but it's also immorality. We have got to get a handle on this culture war, ladies and gentlemen. And if we do, hopefully we could prevent blood from being the next component to bring back liberties. That's our quest. That's our goal. That's why we state this nation shall endure. Chris, final words yours, sir.
Yes, without God, we cannot win, Sam. With God, we cannot lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we need to be engaged in the fight. Lieutenant Carlson and liberty-loving patriots everywhere continuing our duty, sir.
We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.